ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo. Sitting next to me, Cristiano Oliveira. Como é que estás, amigo?
Beleza, cara. Beleza. Tudo jóia.
And up and away, great white north, Mr. Dave de Oliveira. What's happening, Dave?
Nothing much. Good to be back on to discuss some Benfica games this past week here.
That's right. On the eve of an international break, we'll be here to discuss the following topics. Zagreb, which is the second leg of the Europa League.
I like your sexy voice.
I gotta apologize ahead of time.
You sound like a man today, bro. Jesus. Congratulations. At 45, you finally become a man.
My nuts dropped.
The guys finally hit virginity. Good job. Proud of you.
There's now four consecutive podcasts where we've made jokes about nuts.
Well, I didn't mention it. You mentioned it. All I just said is you sound like a man.
I just thought that we should mention that for the people at home if you keep in score.
Well, that's Dave's job. He's a stats guy.
That's right. But anyway, yeah, I apologize ahead of time. I've been battling a little bit of some sinus, some cough, some allergies, some cold, whatever it is. But that's why my voice sounds like this.
So, I feel like I'm doing the Benfica podcast with a whole new host. Like you don't even sound like. I gotta look at you to make sure it's you because, you know, through the headphones, definitely does not sound like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on tonight's podcast, we will be looking back at Benfica's second leg of the Europa League against Dinamo Zagreb at the Estádio da Luz. We'll also be looking back to this past weekend's game up in Moreira de Cónegos against Moreirense. We'll discuss the Europa League draw and briefly, and we'll look also, there's an international break, so we'll mention some of the players that will be out on international break. But before we do that, let's just start at the beginning and not start at the end. So Benfica brought a 1-0 deficit to Estádio da Luz this past Thursday, and Dinamo Zagreb from Croatia came to Estádio da Luz, as I mentioned. I'll give you the lineup real quick. Almeida, Dias, Ferro, Yuri, and Vlaco Dimos were in defense. Feisa, Gabriel in the midfield, Pizzi and Zivkovic on the left. Jota and Rafa were up front. So Seferovic, who was hurt. Jean-Felix got the rest for this game. And Jota and Rafa. Cristiano, what did you think Jota and Rafa up front, man?
It was definitely questionable going into the game. You know, obviously none of those guys is a true forward. You could easily say they're both a lot more comfortable on the wing. But considering we had a game three and a half days earlier on Monday against Brunens, and then we obviously had to play a very tough game on Sunday. And we spoke about that in last week's podcast. It's, you know, talking about whether Jonas and these guys could play three games within a week. And so I think Bruno Lage did what he had to do to try to manage fatigue and try to get these guys to be as fresh as possible heading into Sunday. But as he says all the time, most important thing is today's game. And we'll move on to that. So nonetheless, surprised. But at the same time, not surprised because you kind of figured he was going to rotate. You just did not expect him to rotate both João Félix and Jonas at the same time.
Yeah, and Face and Jota actually getting landmark appearances, Dave.
Yeah, Feisa returns to the lineup since January 15th. He's been out with an injury prior to that, so you could see Feisa making his return into the starting lineup, and Jota also making his starting 11 debut with the senior club. So I know he's not a true striker per se, but we had him playing up top there with Rafa, like mentioned.
Yeah, so Benfica needed to get right up on this game, and they did control the game, but they didn't really have any good chances until the last 10 minutes of the half. That's when they finally pressed and were able to break into the final third. They were playing well, controlling the game, pushing Zagreb into their half, but couldn't really get into that final third. And then Benfica finishes off the half on a high, really creating a couple chances, and but just didn't put them away. The second half team came out, and again, strong again. There was two substitutions at the half. Janusz came in for Zivkovic, and Grimaldo came in for Yuri Ribeiro, which we must say at this point, he's not Benfica level.
Be very, very careful when you say Benfica came out in the second half very strong. Very strong after making those two substitutions, taking out Jota, who you could tell still very not green. Jota.
Zivkovic.
No, Zivkovic, Zivkovic for Jonas.
Yeah, what am I talking about, dude?
And then Jota comes off for
João Felix.
João Felix later on.
Yeah, I made a mistake. But nonetheless, Yuri is, look, the guy's a nice guy. But right now,
you got
now,
nice hair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, anyone's got nicer hair than me, so I'll never critique his hair. But definitely, you could tell that no tempo de lar.
Pedalada,
Pesta Bicicleta. Seems like you know, he fits right in at the Rio Aves of the world, but right now he's having a little bit of trouble getting his feet under him. It just looks very nervous with the ball at his feet. Lost possession practically every time he touched the ball. Zivkovic was invisible in the game. I don't know if that had a lot to do with the fact that he's worried about Yuri losing the ball and maybe having to track back defensively and not having the confidence that he usually has in his left back to go forward. So maybe that kind of messed him up a little bit. So I'm going to give him a pass there. But obviously, once Jonas comes in and once Grimaldo comes in, it was a totally, totally different team. We would have absolutely have liked Benfica to get an early lead in the first half in order to get the guys a little bit more comfortable and hope not to make these substitutions that Benfica was forced to make. But give credit to Bruno Lage. He saw that Benfica was not playing up to their ability. We weren't really creating many chances, and he had to make these two very important moves, which he did. And then, you know, ultimately panned out and Jonas getting on the scoreboard and leveling things and kind of letting everyone take a deep breath around them before going into extra time. Now, there are some that will criticize the decision by Lage to rotate both Jonas and Felix at the same time. At least should have kept one guy in to keep that presence and that threat up front, because as we mentioned before, Jota is not a true striker. Same thing with Rafa. Jota is a guy that is still very green. He has all the technical ability. The guy's got a lot of zing in his game, and I think the future is very bright. But today, he still takes one touch too many. He doesn't keep things as simple as his fellow 19-year-old João Felix. And I think that's what makes Felix special, is that he holds on when he has to hold on. But for the most part, a guy plays very simple. And don't get me wrong, yeah, once in a while he takes one touch too many, but that's part of being a youngster, because there's seasoned veterans who do that as well. But Jota, still a little bit green. Once Jonas comes in, you get that presence in the box, you get that presence up top. It just totally changed the game. And, you know, everything worked out in the end. Yeah. But going into 120, it was just not something you wanted to see.
Yeah, Benfica getting that equalizer, as Cristiano mentioned, which allowed us to, you know, get a new lease, an extra 30 minutes, if you will, in at a time. And when you had played a game earlier and some legs were worried, it was important to be able to get that extra 30 minutes, because Benfica was doing everything that they could to really push back Zagreb. And the breakthrough came in the 94th minute or 4 minutes into at a time, with Ferru just picking up a ball in the middle of the Zagreb's half, looking up and just going for it. He had done something like that in the first half earlier, but he just shanked it really high. But this time he just drove the ball, and what a goal by Ferru. Grimaldo would then put the game away in the 105th minute. And Dave, two defenders scoring goals for Benfica.
Yeah, so of Benfica's 105 goals this season, 17 goals have actually come from defenders. And Grimaldo leads the defenders with 7 goals this season, which is quite high for a defender. And Ferro with his 3rd goal also of the season. So good to see some goal production coming out of the back line as well.
Look, I've been shocked by Ferro's play. I've been shocked by...
Surprised or shocked?
Both. Surprise, shock. I mean, but I was just shocked that the guy's even able to play to you know, to the caliber in the Portuguese league, let alone going into the European league and still competing and being able to produce and now he's scoring goals. I mean, we're not talking about BS goals in a box where the ball falls. We're talking about phenomenal finish from the outside of the box when Benfica most needed it.
Yep.
I mean, it's been an extraordinary first, what, month and a half or whatever it is for 7-8 games for Ferro on Benfica's main squad. And then Grimaldo, as Dave mentioned, the guy's got 7 goals, and it seems like every one of his goals is top-notch. I mean, what an absolute cracker. I mean, that was a knuckleball. The goalkeeper was shocked. He thought, you know, it's just phenomenal on his part. And so, yeah, I mean, could not be happier that Benfica was able to get these guys on the field, and especially Grimaldo. And then that third goal kind of allowed Benfica to breathe, because even after Ferro got Benfica ahead 2-0, they had a chance inside the six that I don't even know how they missed it. And so you could tell things at any moment now could derail and fall apart. But Grimaldo's goal kind of settled everyone down. And after that, I was just coasting into 2 minute 120.
Yeah, and Dave, Benfica really hasn't overcome a lot of first leg deficits, but they did this time.
Yeah, so this was only their sixth time out of 13 that we were able to overcome a 1-0 deficit and able to advance to the next stage of European competition. So good to see that we had some luck on our side, because like Cristiano said, we were really fortunate not to concede a goal there in the extra time. And even after Grimaldo scores, they have another chance, Zagreb, to put one ahead and make it a little bit tighter. So sometimes we need that little luck, and we definitely had it there in the extra time.
Yep.
Yeah, we have to tighten things up, though, in the back, though. I mean, against the caliber of opponent that we're going to face next in Frankfurt. Eintracht? How do you say it?
Eintracht
Frankfurt, who Benfica was lucky or unlucky to draw the very next day.
Could have been worse.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But it depends. Could have been better as well. Yeah, so yeah. Benfica drew Frankfurt, Eintracht, whatever. I can't pronounce the name. I apologize. We need our good friend Marcus Horn to come give me some pronunciation tips. But now we head on to Germany. And again, against a caliber opponent like that, with the Jovics of the world, the Hallers of the world, and they put that away. And things become a lot tighter than they should be. And so Benfica definitely needs to tighten things up in the back.
Yeah. Cristiano, how important was for Benfica that after losing in Croatia, then tying Bulnes, how important was for Benfica to answer this call by their fans in front of their fans in the stadium? How important do you think this win was for Benfica?
I mean, very important, because you start doubting yourself. Obviously, you have the hiccup in Croatia, as you mentioned, and then you come home and you're up 2-0, and then two childish mistakes, and all of a sudden you drop points and it's 2-2. I'm pretty sure some players started dropping, you know, some of their confidence, but, and then you get the question marks of whether Lage has lost this, because, you know, the critics in Portugal, everyone's going to swarm like these guys, you know, they see blood and they swarm. So it was important to get back on a positive note, heading into a very important game in Moreira de Cónegos. Very important that Benfica was able to turn this game around, even though things did not look great in the first half. It looked scary. And then even into midway through the second half, where Benfica was definitely applying the pressure, you felt a little bit more comfortable as a fan, because they were creating chances, unlike in the first half and unlike the game in Croatia. But that, obviously, that goal alleviated things. And then Ferro and Grimaldo, and I think that allowed Benfica to go into Moreira de Cónegos with a positive mindset, and knowing that if things if things get difficult, that they could turn around and score goals and get on the scoreboard with ease.
Yeah, and Dave, Christian already mentioned that we drew Eintracht Frankfurt this past Friday. What do those fixtures look like, and when are they taking place?
Yeah, so April 18th, the first leg at the Stadio de Luz, followed by the second leg on April 18th, where we travel to Frankfurt. Oh,
April 11th Germany. And 18th, I think you said 18th.
Yeah, you said 18th twice.
Oh, so 11th and 18th. My apologies.
Kind of hard.
Yeah.
So 11th.
And then we also drew the same bracket side as Chelsea and Slava Prague. So we kind of avoid some of the bigger giants like Napoli and Arsenal and Valencia, but we still have Chelsea and Frankfurt to deal with.
Well, Napoli and Arsenal play each other, so that'll be one shark gone by the wayside. The only sad part about this draw is our good friend Patrick Kendrick, as you guys have heard here on the podcast, and you heard on Benfica English play-by-play for a number of years there at Stade de Luz. He now works for Inter Milan. I don't think that's a secret. I think most of you guys that listen to us on a regular know. And had Inter done their business and beaten Frankfurt in advance, it would have been his dream matchup. Patrick would have had an opportunity to come back to the Luz and then, you know, back to Lisbon, a city that he loves very much. And so that was the only sad part. It would have been nice to see Patrick back in his old stomping grounds. But nonetheless, Benfica need to handle business. I think Frankfurt is I don't want to call them a shark, but they're a little bit better than a lot of people anticipate. I tell you, they're a lot better than the team Benfica just faced in Zagreb. And it's not just about Jovic.
Yep.
Benfica player that's on loan with the BS buyout clause, very low, which they're going to take advantage of. And now you got all the big sharks, you know, the Real Madrid's, Barcelona's, Man United, everyone swimming around Jovic. He's the guy's hot property.
Yep.
Everyone wants him. So be very careful. It's not just about Jovic. They have another French 24-year-old striker who's got 14 goals, one goal behind Jovic in the Bundesliga, scores goals in bundles. And they have a couple of very good playmaking midfielders, Croatian one, a Serbian one. So this is a team that could absolutely put the ball together and move up the field and create really good chances. So, just be aware. But I think Lodge will have the guys ready to go. But it's not going to be a walk in the park.
And Germany is never a good playing ground for Benfica anyways. Whenever we have to go there, we haven't had much success there lately. So we always got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. I mean, you have to keep in mind when we go there now, we play Dortmund or Bayern Munich. I mean, it's not like we're playing the Frankfurts of the world. But yeah,
we've also struggled against Leverkusen in the past.
That was years ago. That was years ago. I'm talking about lately. But you're right, Dave. You're right, though.
Yeah. So
when I think about Germany,
I think
1994, bro. Leverkusen, Benfica, 4-4.
Yeah.
I always go back to that
game.
That's
a memorable game. That's probably
that game.
It will live on for a very long time in people's memories.
But when I think about Germany, that's what I think about. I don't think about the shellackings or whatever by 4-0 by Dortmund. My mind automatically takes me back to Leverkusen back in 94.
Yeah, when I think about Germany, I think about beer and bratwurst.
That could be worse.
Yeah.
Could have been thinking about Adolf Hitler stuff. I mean, you know, could definitely be worse.
Yeah. So with European business out of the way and settled, it was time to turn our attention to domestic competition. Porto, who had played earlier than us, had won the game. We had a very, very complicated game up north in Moreira de Cónegos against a team that's arguably been the sensation team of the season. So it wasn't going to be a very easy game. So On the pitch, Flaco Dimos was in goal. Almeida, Dias, Ferro, and Grimaldo. Gabriel and Samaris. Pizzi, Rafa, and Felix and Jonas. So this is right now probably Benfica, not probably, Benfica's strongest 11 to play in against Mourinense. And, I thought that Benfica did well. They had a very good half for a small pitch that gave them very little space to move the ball. It was a fast combinations that allowed Benfica to break through and to advance the ball into the final third. But there was a goal in the 30th minute that got called back by VAR, which was the right call. Then in the 37th minute, João Félix would score in a goal that's surrounded by controversy from where I was. It didn't look like it was offside. But look, it's not Benfica's fault that the stadium doesn't have conditions for all the cameras to be set up and to have the 18 cameras that they may have at Stade de Luz. Whether or not it went to VAR, VAR looked at it and thought it was fine, and it is what it is. In the 43rd minute, Samaris would put us ahead 2-0. So we went into the half with a 2-0 lead, and the team then grew confident after that. Cristiano, watching this game, were you nervous going into this game?
Was I nervous? You want me to answer that? Biased or unbiased?
Just tell me how you felt going into the game.
Don't get me wrong. As a Benfiquista, you know me. I'm a glass half full type of guy. After having gone through what we went through on Saturday with the game at the Ladrón and all that BS and stuff like that, you start to wonder if maybe there is some truth to, you know, the referees carrying the other team, and are they going to influence Benfica's game? That starts to trickle into your mind, and then you start questioning yourself, go back to the game and start to lose against Bolonense, where there's three clear handballs, they never go to VAR, but then they go on a VAR here. So all that crap leads into doubt going into Moreira Conics, a team that came at the start of the lose, beat Benfica 3-1 in the first half of the season. Benfica's playing their third game in 7 days. Benfica is without some key players. You know, Sferovic, they only have two guys who had to play big minutes on Thursday, just 3 days prior. So all that starts to trigger into your mind. You know, nonetheless, you feel that Benfica has enough quality to go into Moreira Conegos, especially with this new coach, Bruno Lage. And if they play their football the way we've grown accustomed to seeing them play under Bruno Lage for the most part, with the exception of the two games in the Europa League, you knew this team was going to come in and pose a threat and create and try to get the 3 points. And that's exactly what they did. Things got a little bit hectic with fouls on Benfica players, like the one third minute in with the, I forget who the guy was, from Mourinho, that stepped on Grimaldo's ankle.
Yeah.
Start questioning. I mean, the guy doesn't even get a yellow. And so now all that doubt starts creeping back into your mind. Benfica gets on a scoreboard through Jonas, a beautiful play, only to go back on VAR, which 100% cleanly offside by Pizzi. And then you start wondering, man, look, Benfica's not taking advantage of these chances. Pizzi misses an opportunity right at the beginning of the game as well. He's in front of goal. And so you start thinking, like, bro, are we going to rue these chances? We hope that we don't. But you know what? To Benfica's credit, they turned things around. They kept knocking on the door, and they started, you know, until they knocked it down. And they were able to put a couple of nice plays together, got on the scoreboard, and then it was pretty much Dunsky after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you this much. I was more nervous on coming into this game than I was going into the Porto game. Just the way the games that we've been playing in such short time span. I know we were trying to rest guys like Jonas, Gabriel, Grimaldo, and João Felix, but and we ended up having to use them in against Zagreb to advance. So, and we went to extra time. So another extra 30 minutes that these guys had to play on top of this important game on Sunday. And I was actually disappointed with how Morientes played. I thought they would give us more of a challenge, considering they were going into the match in fifth place and had already taken points away from Porto at their stadium. But I was really nervous going into this match, but good to see that we ended up getting the 3 points and a good result to show for as well.
Yeah, I think for me at this point, there's obviously some anxiety and nerves before the game, but you still feel confident. But just going back and look, I hate to talk about this, but this is the environment that people have conditioned us to believe, right? So refereeing, bad calls, VAR is not working for 30 minutes, so. At this point, I think I'm more nervous about any mistakes that could negatively impact Benfica than I am on the actual game itself, because I know that this team is capable of doing things. I know that we have a coach that's capable of identifying things that need to be changed. But the biggest variable to me continues to be refereeing in Portugal, because and it's something that you kind of wonder, well, is it just bad in general, and that's why they don't even get any call-ups to international play? Or is just are these guys conditioned by some outside sources? So there's always a doubt that you're not going to get a well officiated game when it comes to Benfica or any other game for that matter. So there's always that doubt and maybe that little hesitation on my part. That something's going to happen, and especially going down into the final stretch of the season with 8 games left to go and the race tight as is, there's doubts in my mind. And of course, if you guys remember, Chris and I were basically grew up on the Pit Dorado and seeing the most blatant robberies that you could look. I mean, all you needed was a guy, the ref, to pull out a gun and just hands up.
Bro, I'm still scarred by that. I need to see a psychiatrist. Yeah. I'm still scarred. I mean, that left PTSD. What is it? PTSD?
PTSD, yeah.
Yeah, I got PTSD from that crap. I mean, and that's happened years ago, and it seems like we're back to those days on certain occasions. It's just despicable what happens in Portuguese football, and then at tudo apontar o dedo ao Benfica, and it's all Benfica's fault, and everybody just seems to forget what everyone else does. But that's another subject for another time.
Yeah.
Very important 3 points. Benfica is back at top of the table. That's what matters heading into this international break, where Benfica did have a handful of players call up to represent their national teams. But yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. We got the points. Moving on.
Yeah, Rafa and Florentino finished off the scoreline with four goals for Benfica. And it was quite an emphatic answer by Benfica, right? Which is, this was one game that everybody had marked on their calendars as possible point loss for Benfica. But Benfica had quite an emphatic answer to all the critics and to all the doubters and to all the hopers that Benfica would be losing points in this game. So
Benfica needs to protect Rafa at all costs. The guy has been absolutely lights out. He is threatening every single time he has the ball. Very glad to see that the player that we paid 16 million euros to, Braga, has finally arrived at the Luz, and he's been spectacular.
Yeah. Dave, do you got a stat here on both Rafa and also João Félix, which is went over or scored the 10th goal of the season?
Yeah, so he scored his 10th goal of the Campeonato this year. And in the last 20 years, only three players have scored 10 or more goals while being under 20 years old. So João Félix did it this year. Diogo Jota scored 12 back in 2015-16 when he was with Paços de Ferreira. And our boy Mantores, 10 goals back in 2000-2001, but while he was playing for Alverca back in the day.
And right. that's 10 goals and 18 appearances, correct, if I'm not mistaken? Which is very...
That for João Félix.
Yes.
And Rafa's... Yeah. Did you say Rafa scored in his last...
Yeah, Rafa has also been on fire. Five goals. Yeah, 5 goals in his last 6 games. He's really been... I know you've made this argument before in the past, but he's been one of our most important players. The way he's able to connect the midfielder up to the attacking sector, and his creativity. I know he can be frustrating at times to watch when he does make those extra moves or doesn't take the right shot or doesn't hit the shot, but I'll take that any time of the week when he does end up putting it behind the net, and his creativity as well.
And look, I'm not dumping on Rui Vitória, but when you think about today's team and the form that Benfica is playing right now, the current moment, Samaris, who is non-existent for three and a half years under the former coach, João Félix, seldom used substitute. Rafa wasn't
and
used.
And on the left when he was playing.
But what was barely playing.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Servi was starting ahead of him.
Exactly. I'm just talking about minutes, though, where they played to meet, you know. Rafa, who was, you know, wasn't used as much as well. Sferovic, who's dispensado in the summer. The guy didn't get a single minute in preseason for Benfica. And those guys now are what, or who, you know, are carrying Gabriel as well. Another guy that was kind of descartado by Rui Vitória. So it goes to show you that Bruno Lage has done a tremendous job. And sometimes I know our president and guys within the team would like to throw out some lines, and you feel like it's cliches. But this time I got to admit that they were right on when they said, you know, these guys are going to be reforces in the second half of the season. You know, they're on the team. They've been injured. They haven't played much. But in the second half, we don't need to go out and spend money on the transfer market, because these guys will be reforces. And look, to his credit, this time at least it came to fruition.
Yeah, by now. Yeah, for sure. Rafa has blinding speed with the ball at his feet. He is ridiculously quick.
Yeah, that one play where he picks it up behind midfield, runs the whole length of the field. And then again, my criticism of his over the time, and he's gotten a lot better this season, is that final ball. So,
yeah.
And it looked like he hit, you know, it was too hard of a touch across the middle and to nobody. But nonetheless, it was still a magnificent play on his part. I mean, the lungs on that guy to take the ball and carry it and shield defenders off and still being able to get into the box and create a very dangerous situation. I mean, the guy's been absolutely spectacular, as I've said here on the podcast many, many times. Might not be Benfica's best player, but he's by far Benfica's most dangerous player.
So we're back on top with this game under our belts, and now we back on top, albeit tied in points, but head on the head-to-head. Now we head into international break. And Dave, what's No, we're tied.
Bolognese.
Bolognese.
Yeah, I forgot
about you're trying to put that behind you, eh?
Yeah. Oh shit! I forgot.
No, yeah, we got the same exact points as Porto
because of Lens.
Yeah,
because I forgot about that. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, well, I'm looking at you like
he's got selective memory.
Yeah, well, dude, that's a game you want to forget.
Screw yeah, on. But Dave,
speaking of PTSD, that's a game that'll trigger PTSD.
That's exactly right. Dave, Benfica heading into international break, and 11 Benfica players into international break.
Yeah, so 4 for Portugal that were called up: Ruben Dias, Rafa, PT, and João Felix gets his first call up to the senior squad. We had some Greeks also get called up to the Greek national team, Samaris and Vlachodimos. Fejša and Zivkovic also got called up to the Serbian national team, and Florentino, Jetson, and Jota to the under-20 Portugal team as well.
Yeah, that's right. And Fejša has been working out at the Seychelles, and he will be at the Seychelles until Serbia travels to Portugal. He would then join Serbia there. But I read that, and then when I got Dave's list, I said, Dave, Fejša is staying in Lisbon, but I didn't read completely. But yeah, you know, look, international break could be good, but it could also be not so good if players come back injured and such. And I think at this point, the players are so used to that week in, week out rhythm that this is something that's going to break up that rhythm. So let's hope that this international break is beneficial for Benfica, and every player comes back unarmed and ready to go. So great for João Felix to get that call up, the first call up. I think it's well deserved. And Chris, I probably don't even remember of this many Benfica players being on the national team. It's been a while since we put that many in there.
Been a while. I mean, probably have to go back to the JJ years and 12-13 season. Probably Benfica had a phenomenal roster then.
Yeah.
Maybe then. Also, another guy I just wanted to mention, wanted to shout out. Keaton Parks also gets called up. I know he's not part of Benfica today. He's on loan at NYCFC, but he got called up to represent the United States U23. So,
and CJ also.
Good for him. CJ
U20.
U20 in Spain, I believe, today. I think they played today, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, just shouting out some of our friends here.
Yeah. Good
for them.
Also, today it was announced that Benfica will be a part of the international champions.
Nah.
What?
You serious?
It was announced that Benfica will be part of the International Champions Cup taking place in Asia and in America and whatnot. On the 27th, they will announce further details as far as fixtures and locations and other teams. So just wait for that. But yes, Benfica is going to the International Champions Club Cup. Hopefully it won't be to Asia. It'll be to North America like they did last year. So we'll just have to... sit tight and
find out Wednesday. Find out Wednesday, that's March 27th, 10 a.m. press conference, and the world will know.
North America, including Canada. So pass by Toronto this time because I know a lot of Canadians missed out on the trip last week. But hey, if it doesn't come to Canada, we'll still travel down to the States. We'll bring our Charisse, we'll bring our Sagres, we'll have a good time.
I will say this, Dave. I will say this, and this is going to probably rub some of our Canadian brothers the wrong way, but the last time Benfica was there to play Paris Saint-Germain, the turnout wasn't very great. It was like 11,000. Wasn't very great.
And you're missing the Eusebio Cup as well.
They still owe you the Eusebio Cup.
Yeah, no, it's been rough. So we'll just
rough. Alfredo,
we'll just have to see how that turns out. So I'm sure everybody's anxiously awaiting for that announcement. And it's always good to have Benfica on this side of the Atlantic. So we'll just have to see.
I told you sound different today, bro. You sound like one of those guys doing the traffic in the morning, bro.
Hey, he's fine. Hey, he's. So that's all we got for you this week. Next week, we will be taking a break, and we'll be back the week after that. We'll break down the Tondela game, which Benfica, well, actually, we'll look ahead to the Tondela game. So we'll be back after this. Wait, never mind. We'll be back when we'll be back.
Alfredo, from, say it one time for me. Traveling east on the George Washington Bridge, it'll be a 20-minute hold. Go ahead, say
traveling it. East on the George Washington Bridge, you will find a backup. One car broken down on the side of the road.
Sound like 10-10 wins, bro. Oof. Good job.
This is going to be my audition tape.
I just gave you an idea. Look at that.
See everybody.
Peace.
Enjoy whatever you do this weekend. I'll be missing Benfica terribly. I hate the national.
Carrega Benfica. Hugo Ferreira. Don't stop now.
Bye.
Peace.